It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. D-Mace is here. Willie D will join us later in the show. He is in the city of brotherly love, the Nashville Predators, taking on the Philadelphia Flyers tonight. Puck drop at 6 o'clock. D-Mace, how we doing?
We're doing well. You know, what we have, four more days until Christmas, or five
Woo-hoo!
More days.
Four more days.
Until Christmas. My son gets home right after we get off air, so I got to go pick him up from the airport.
I bet you're excited.
Oh, I'm very excited. So it's a good time. It's just a wonderful, I guess the phrase is a wonderful time of the year.
The most wonderful time of the year, some might say. Of the year.
I think every day is the most wonderful time of the year. When I can put my feet on the ground and get up and come to this station, we're good.
Heard that. Heard that. It's nice when you can celebrate it with some family.
Exactly.
Makes Absolutely. It a little bit extra special. We'll chat with Elliot Friedman at 1 o'clock. We'll get the latest on his thoughts on the Nashville Predators, the hot streak, the game against Vancouver, how to snap back. We'll chat with Elliot Friedman about that at 1 p.m. But I want to start here. One article that I found on ESPN.com, Bill Barnwell of ESPN.com, the headline of his most recent article is 2024 NFL quarterback market, 13 teams that could add starters. Mm-hmm. Now, I expected kind of the obvious ones, the Vegas Raiders.
Definitely.
Atlanta, Arizona, maybe even Chicago. Minnesota, if they, you know, I'm not going to say they should move on from Kirk Cousins. I know how you feel about that, but I don't think that they should. But just kind of New Orleans being one of them, New England, another one, the teams that we've been talking about over the last few weeks, and really for the most part, a lot of the teams that we thought would be in the 2024 quarterback sweepstakes anyways at the beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. What I did not expect to be in this article was the Tennessee Titans. The Tennessee Titans, per Bill Barnwell, he believes could be a team that could be in the mix for a starter in 2024. Says, how has it gone in 2023 with the current starter? Says, the Titans have looked broken for most of the season. He ain't wrong about that. Mm-hmm. One of the few exceptions was Levis's first start as a pro when he threw for 238 yards and four touchdowns in a win over the Falcons. After half a season at the helm, that performance looks like an outlier. While he attempts the deepest average pass in all of football, Levis is completing just 59% of his throws. He also has the third highest rate of off-target throws for any quarterback, behind a dismal offensive line. He ain't wrong about that either.
No.
Levis has also been sacked on 9.5% of his dropbacks, which is ridiculous, which is the fourth worst mark in football. The other quarterbacks behind him are typically holding the ball for a long time, but Levis's average sack comes after just 4.1 seconds. I'm honestly shocked that it's 4 seconds. Mm-hmm. I would think it's even quicker than that.
Exactly.
Third quickest rate for any passer in the league. Bill Barnwell writes, I'm willing to put some of the blame there on ill-considered offensive line choices, but Levis probably can't survive in the long term taking sacks this often at the pro level. I never thought about the Titans being in the mix for a starting quarterback over the last few weeks, at least. Of course, it was still in conversation if the Titans would get a top 3, top 5 pick. Should they go after a Caleb Williams? Should they go after a Drake May? I've seen enough from Will Levis that I feel like the Titans don't need to be in the quarterback sweepstakes, that you at least have your guy for the foreseeable future. Is Will Levis going to be your starter for the next 15 years, or is he going to be your starter for the next 3 years? I don't know, but I at least have felt good about Levis being your quarterback for 2024. But D-Maze, what do you make of Bill Barnwell writing that Tennessee could be in the market for a starting quarterback in 2024?
I don't see why the Tennessee Titans are in this this conversation. I don't even know why they're in this article. They are in no way in need of a quarterback in the NFL draft. They are not. Now, listen, a team can go out and, you know, if you got to see the good and the bad about this season for the Titans. The bad is obviously their record. And, you know, it's just been loss after loss, bad losses. So that's the bad. But the good part is they get to pick. You know, right now they have, what, the 8th pick in the NFL draft? They have a top 10 pick, let's just say that.
Yeah.
I think it's around 8.
It's
somewhere.
Either 8 or 9.
Yeah.
9 currently. All the mocks.
And it can change this week. They can move up to 8 or even 7, just depending. So they will get a top pick. And sometimes, like last year, had they, you know, had – say if they had their quarterback last year and they were picking high, there was not enough, like, top-flight quarterbacks that one can say, you know what, they need a quarterback since they're drafting at the top. They need to figure out a way to maneuver up to get a quarterback because there's only really 3 quarterbacks that everybody's eyeing. I can understand that. In this draft, the problem is, again, there are a lot of these quarterbacks. There are at least 5 quarterbacks that have probably more than likely first-round grades. Now, we know the 2, May and Caleb, they probably have a grade of a 1-2, you know, flip-flop either or.
Right.
You know, they're
yeah, yeah.
both in the top 3.
They're going to be the top 2 of the top 3.
Exactly, absolutely.
If not the top 2.
Absolutely. So with a draft that has at least 4 quarterbacks that have first-round grades, and I'm saying high first-round grades, sometimes, you know, it's almost like you feel like you got to pick, you know, everybody said, you got to take one of these quarterbacks. I know you got your quarterback from last year, but this quarterback or these quarterbacks are much better. If he was in this draft, he would probably be a 3rd-round pick, somewhere around there. So if you got an opportunity to take that guy, you take him.
Which I do believe to a certain extent.
I understand that theory. I understand that.
In theory.
Exactly.
Yes.
In theory, you can't. That's why Chicago's in this dilemma. Mm-hmm. Do you take one of these quarterbacks or do you go another year? We're saying Fields is our quarterback. They passed on a quarterback last year. They're in the same position. Now will they finally draft another quarterback or will they stay with Fields again and trade those picks away? I think they're going to draft a quarterback and move on from Fields. Well, the Titans are sort of in that situation now because there are these top flight, what many believe are generational or franchise quarterbacks, young franchise quarterbacks. And what is it? You can't pass on a franchise quarterback. I don't care. Unless you got Aaron Rodgers, Mahomes, one of these guys that you know are going to be 10, 15-year starters, it's tempting, tantalizing to go get that guy.
But you don't know if you're going to be
exactly.
Aaron Rodgers or a Patrick Mahomes.
Absolutely.
They will take it in the latter half of the first round.
Yes, but it's like when you have guys that have the potential to be generational players, do you pass up on them even though you have what we believe is your quarterback for the future? Mm-hmm. Because you hadn't seen enough of him, and he does have some warts, not many, but he does have some warts. So do you stay put with him or do you say, you know what? We may not ever be in this position again, and this guy can carry our franchise for the next 15 years. We can get him. So which one do you do? I think that's why Barnwell put them in this position. Why? Because we've seen some, but not enough, to determine whether Will Levis can be the franchise quarterback. We think in our minds, you just surround him with some guys, he'll be fine. But we don't know that. But there are a lot of many people that think Caleb, May, you know, any other quarterbacks, like two or three other, Jaden Daniels, you know, the kid Penix.
Yeah.
So that's four quarterbacks. And I'm not even talking about the Michigan quarterback and maybe one or two other quarterbacks.
Bo Nix, maybe.
Yeah, Bo Nix. So do you take one of those guys or do you stay put with your guy?
And one other alternative that Bill Barnwell brought up is bringing in a veteran.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if at some point in next season you realize that Will Levis isn't the guy, then mm-hmm. you at least have a proven veteran to turn to. But my thought is, why is Will Levis the quarterback that is not getting maybe the same benefit mm-hmm. of the doubt? Because, look, Will Levis hasn't been perfect.
No, he
not
hasn't.
In the slightest. He's made some silly mistakes. We saw it on Monday Night Football, mm-hmm. pick six against the Dolphins, the dumb interception last week. He's got some, like you said, some warts that he needs to figure out. He's uh-huh. got some things that he needs to fix.
But he's a young quarterback.
He's a young quarterback, and there is not much around mm-hmm. him. I mean, just Bill Barnwell points
he's
it out.
He's pointing them all out. Yeah,
the third fewest time in the NFL to get the ball out before he's sacked.
Mm-hmm.
One of the highest sack rates in the NFL. How do you expect a rookie mm-hmm. quarterback to thrive under those conditions? And I don't want to make excuses for Will Levis mm-hmm. because there are mistakes that he's made.
They're not excuses.
That are just
they're the truth.
Because of him.
It's
but it is the truth.
Yeah, it's not an excuse.
And I don't see Carolina on this list as a team that could potentially
exactly,
be in the mix
like,
for a starter. Bryce Young hadn't necessarily been
no,
too hot.
But they
Anthony
look at
Richardson
that difference.
Has been consistently injured this uh-huh. past season. What's your best ability? Your availability.
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't Indianapolis maybe in the mix to say, hey, if Anthony Richardson can't stay healthy, I think he's got a lot of talent, but your best ability is your availability. Mm-hmm. I find it strange that Will Levis and the Tennessee Titans are being in this conversation when I feel at least as though, and maybe I'm a Titans bobo, mm-hmm. maybe a Titans homer, I'm a Will Levis homer. I feel like I've seen enough from Will Levis to say that can be your guy.
Yeah, Barnwell, he lays out, it's a nice article, really good article, but he lays out all these reasons why, you know, Will Levis isn't or hasn't performed a little bit better. He yep. lays them all out, but then he says, well, they're in the need for a quarterback. It's like that. Both of those two things are not possible. You can't give all of these reasons why he does struggle at times and then say, well, they need a new quarterback. Well, if they get a new quarterback and don't fix what you have listed as their problems, they're going to be in the same problem with that quarterback. So me, you have your quarterback at least for the next 2 years. Let's just say that. Let's say, I don't want to put it no further than the next 2 years. You have your guy next season and the season that, if he stays healthy. What you need to do is start, this is how you can figure out whether this guy is truly the guy you want. The same thing that Miami did with Tua Tagovailoa. Tua Tagovailoa, he's a good quarterback. He's a good quarterback. It's not even solid. He's not elite, but he's right below that. Yeah, he's a good, you can win with him. You can do a lot. He's accurate. He's precise. He knows exactly what he wants to do. Gets the ball out of his hands very quickly.
I think he is a product of his surroundings.
But they went out. They said, you know what? Mike McDaniel said, listen, the last coaching, you know, regime, they didn't help you out at all here.
Mm-hmm.
What we're going to do, we see your talent. We know what you can do. You didn't get drafted in the top 10 for no reason. You got drafted because they saw the skill set. You've been winning at a level, at a high level since college mm-hmm. and probably even beyond that. So we know you have the skill and the talent. Let's, as a young quarterback, let's surround you with talent. So now you can, that process of getting better is a little bit smoother.
Mm-hmm.
There may not be as many bumps in the road or hiccups. Quarterbacks thrive by getting confident. They thrive on confidence. They know the playbook. They understand what the defense is doing, but they thrive on confidence. That's why Tua Tagovailoa drops back and he throws the ball the way he does because he has confidence that this guy's going to go get it. But then he's done so much this season and last season, he figured, like, there's nothing I can't do. It's like sort of like the Tom Brady mentality.
Yeah.
There's nothing I can't do because I've seen it. Tom saw it all. Peyton saw it all, and they did it all. Well, Tua sort of he's not at their level. He's sort of at that infancy level with in regards to them. It's, I have confidence. Why? Because of the weapons around me. The game has slowed down for me. I'm in my rhythm. So no matter who you throw out there now, I'm just throwing the ball because now I feel good about everything that I'm doing. So they surrounded Tua with players. And now they believe Tua is their franchise guy. He's their guy moving forward. They're not even looking for a quarterback. That's what, instead of Barnwell saying they need another quarterback, he should be saying that if they, you know, build this offensive line back up, get him maybe one more receiver, then we can truly evaluate whether he's an elite quarterback or he's our franchise quarterback or not. Right now, we can't truly, you know, evaluate that based upon things around him. We saw what he's capable of doing. We saw that in Atlanta. We saw it 2 weeks ago in the last two-minute drive. Two of the two last possessions of the game for him. Well, two of the three because the last one was a down. They just downed the ball. But we saw what he could do. Now we just need to add pieces around him and plug holes and make it better for him around him on the offensive line. You do that, then I can get a true assessment whether this is our guy or not. He started off on the right foot. Again, he has his warts, but he has started off on the right foot. Now what you need to do as an organization is build around him. And as you build around him, your team gets better. And if he elevates, you become – You go from an average team to a damn good team. Right. If he doesn't develop, you are the San Francisco 49ers with Jimmy Garoppolo. Then you got to put somebody else in place. He's a good quarterback, but he can't take you where you need to go.
And you don't need conditions to be perfect around a young quarterback to be able to evaluate that quarterback and say, okay, that guy's got it or he doesn't. Mm-hmm. For example, Malik Willis. Malik Willis was working with very similar, if not the exact same, conditions as Will Levis has. Mm-hmm. But we saw what Malik Willis did in London, and we knew that ain't it.
Yeah.
Even last year. And it wasn't the exact same team. You didn't have the exact same weapons. But it still wasn't a great team. Mm-hmm. Still wasn't a great offensive line. And we could watch Malik Willis, even through the lens of, this isn't a great line, he doesn't have a whole lot of pass-catching weapons, mm-hmm. and be able to say, this kid might not have it. With Will Levis, it's a horrendous offensive line. He's got pass-catching mm-hmm. weapons. But we can look at him and say, all right, we can work with this. There's a foundation here. There are certain uncoachable, intangible, whatever buzzword you want to use, whatever buzzword quarterback word you want to use, that Will Levis has. The toughness, the moxie, the leadership, the desire, the drive. Will Levis has all of those things. Now, can that win you a Super Bowl? We'll see. Mm-hmm. We're not there yet. We are a far cry from that. You don't need the conditions to be perfect. But to Bill Barnwell's point about bringing in a veteran quarterback, if you see that Will Levis is struggling, mm-hmm. we saw what a veteran quarterback looks like with this offensive line on this team. And it wasn't good.
Yeah.
Ryan Tannehill turned the ball over three times against the New Orleans Saints. Ryan Tannehill struggled to move the ball downfield really for a majority of this season when he was the starter. I think part of that is Ryan Tannehill, mm-hmm. and I think part of that is a result of what's around him. Mm-hmm. So you can bring however many veteran quarterbacks you want. You can bring in, veteran backups. You can bring in Tom freaking Brady into this team. I still don't know how much any kind of veteran quarterback can do with an offensive line as bad as this one is. You've got very limited assets. Mm-hmm. Go use those limited assets to help build around the young quarterback instead of making a rash decision about Will Levis maybe potentially not being your starting quarterback. Mm-hmm. I'm not sold completely on Will Levis being your quarterback for the next 15 years, but I'm sold on let's give him another chance for the next year.
Yeah, you have to. I think he started off obviously on a good note, and then but we all knew. Hey, listen, what he did against Atlanta is it's not sustainable from the fact of defenses are not going to play like that.
And nor did we ever expect Will Levis to sustain that kind of performance.
We knew that, okay, he'll come back there, but the fear was how far down will he fall? Mm-hmm. Like, will he just fall flat, right back to the base? Mm-hmm. Or will he just fall halfway, gather himself and then sort of take off again? Well, I think he's fallen halfway. And he's struggling to regain that form that he had in the first game because of the offensive line. Now we're getting later in the season. Now guys are beat up and injured. But he showed glimpses of it versus the Miami Dolphins. Two of the last three possessions that they had were scores that they needed. He orchestrated all of that. Tim Kelly made the calls. Will Levis did exactly what he was supposed to do, orchestrate that offense and move it efficiently down the field. And that's what he did. You can't take that lightly. Guys, everyday guys can't do that, you know, what he did. And he's shown it before, like, give him time. He's going to make his rookie mistakes. I understand that. But if you give him time, he will do more good things than bad things. So, again, this is, to me, this shouldn't be about Will Levis. This should be about what can the Titans do to truly see if he is the guy moving forward. Mm-hmm. Well, the things that they can do, we all know what they are. Beef up that offensive line. Go get you one or two. Get you two guys and make that offensive line better than what it has been over the last 2 years. Not just this year, over the last 2 years. In 2 years, they've given up almost 100 sacks, if not 100 sacks. That's unheard of. That is unacceptable. That is a fireable offense. It truly is a fireable offense. When you give up over or damn near 100 sacks in two seasons, like, see, who does that? That's bad.
100 sacks in two seasons, and you have gotten one, two, three quarterbacks hurt.
Exactly.
Ryan Tannehill twice, and now Will Levis.
Three quarterbacks hurt. Over 100 sacks, and then you say, you put in your article, they need a new quarterback. No, Barnwell, they don't need a new quarterback. They need a new offensive line, or at least two, you know, two out of the five. They need new offensive linemen. That's what they need. This has more to do about that, at least for me. This has more to do about that than about the quarterback. The quarterback has potential. We knew who Ryan Tannehill was. He started to regress as that offensive line started to regress. And then they started to change his playmakers around him. But I think he truly started to regress when that offensive line started to regress. That's when it happened.
Yeah.
So then you throw Will Levis in there on an offensive line that's already bad. And then you come out with an article damn near at the end of the season. Oh, the Tennessee Titans should be looking for another quarterback. Or they may be looking. No. If Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel are deciding on whether to get another quarterback or not, both of them should be fired.
I think they need to bring in a veteran backup.
Yes, they need to bring in a veteran. That's what it should have been.
Yes.
The article should have been, they need to bring in a backup, a good veteran backup, mm-hmm. because if you can't improve this offensive line, then you're opening up your young quarterback to an injury. You need you a capable, a reliable veteran guy that have won some games in this league. You need him behind the young guy.
It's a reality. Look at the Bengals.
Yeah.
I thought once Joe Burrow went down, they were absolutely sunk. Jake Browning's looked pretty solid for them. Joe Flacco in Cleveland. Drew Locke, what he did for the Seahawks on Monday night. A quality backup is an underrated asset in this league. And when you have an offensive line that allows the quarterback to get killed as much as this offensive line does, you need to have that insurance. So, yes, I mean, backup, a veteran backup, absolutely. In the market for a starting quarterback, no, I cannot get on board with that. But you bring up the offensive line. Paul Kaharsky was on with his weekly with Robbie and Rex Road earlier this week, and he talked about the offensive line. Who is to blame for how bad this offensive line is? What Paul Kaharsky said and our thoughts on that. We'll get into that coming up next. And your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline Willie DeMays. We're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Caroline Willie DeMays. I joined Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Teddy's Tavern this Sunday from 9:30 9:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. for our NFL pregame show. They'll break down the Titans' Week 16 matchup against the Seahawks and give you the latest updates before the game. Our NFL pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Beast Unleashed. So Bill Barnwell had an article on ESPN.com listing some teams in the NFL that could be in the market for a starting quarterback. The Titans were one of them. And look, the Titans need to be in the backup quarterback market. Starting quarterback, I don't know. But Bill Barnwell highlights just how brutal, just how awful this offensive line is. Bill Barnwell says, while Will Levis is completing just 59% of his throws, he's also getting sacked on nearly 10% of his dropbacks. Mm-hmm. That he is the third fewest amount of time to throw in the NFL, just 4 seconds to throw. And honestly, I think it could be shorter. There are some dropbacks where it drops back, boom, sacked before you can even blink an eye. And so we kind of talked about it. Like, look, before you still go looking for a new starting quarterback, build up the offensive line. Because the offensive line is just truly so horrible and so horrendous. Who gets the blame for that? Paul Kaharsky was on with Robbie on Rex Road earlier this week and said who he would blame for this offensive line. This was Paul Kaharsky.
Some of the positional coaching complaints are unreasonable. All right. Hoteling. I still can't get his name. I apologize.
I'm pretty sure that's it. Hoteling.
Hoteling. Haas on the offensive line, you know, resume-wise, doesn't look like a great resume, right? He's not experienced coming in. He was the assistant of a fired guy. And I know the reference point for everybody is Mike Munchak. And Mike Munchak's an incredible offensive line coach. But the level of talent, first off, the pool of talent generally for offensive linemen is a lot different than it was when Mike Munchak was doing his marvelous work for the Titans in terms of what comes through college based on the spread and all of that. Secondly, as big a Mike Munchak fan as I am, I don't know how much better he could make Andre Dillard, who's not that interested in playing and is not very skilled.
Jeff Stoutland's the best offensive line coach in the NFL. He did nothing with Andre Dillard.
Exactly.
He's the Eagles' offensive line coach, the best offensive line coach in the NFL.
So if you're looking to point blame about the Titans' offensive line, first, point at the guys who haven't done their job well. And second, and this is the second time I've asked it, I asked Vrabel what degree of guilt or blame goes to the people who decided that this group was good enough to protect the quarterback and to block for the run game. And he avoided the question a second time, and it'll be one of my first questions at the season-ending press conference.
Oh, goody.
Those are the people who are culpable for the pass protection and the run blocking. Are Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon, who assembled this group and thought it was sufficient, reconstructing a group from last year that they knew wasn't sufficient. It was the number one goal last year to redo this offensive line, and this is what they came up with.
Now, look, I don't entirely disagree with what Paul Kaharsky is saying. Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel do deserve blame. They should be blamed for this offensive line. Because all offseason long, all training camp long, we were talking about, man, this offensive line looks like it's not going to be very good. We kept getting assured by Mike Vrabel, no, too much is being made about this. The offensive line is terrible. So, of course, you have to put blame on the people in charge and the powers that be that assembled this offensive line, or their lack of assembling an offensive line is maybe a more fair assessment of what this line looks like. But Paul's point is, too much is being made of the coach. Too many Titans fans want to point fingers at the coach when you should be pointing fingers at Vrabel and Rand Carthon. Why can't you point the finger at all three of them? This offensive line is so bad. They all deserve blame. The coach deserves blame. The position coach deserves blame. And the general manager deserves blame. It is so bad that I think they all should be held accountable for it.
Yeah, they should. Like you said, I think what Paul is saying, it has truth to it. It does. I mean, you know, ultimately, you know, hey, listen, either you're a good player, either you are a player that can play in this league or you can't. One of the two. And when I mean play in this league, I don't mean you necessarily have to be a starter, but you can be a backup. You can be a role player on your team. You have a role on your team. You're good enough to have a role. So to me, it's like you said, it's a two-part, well, it's a three-part. The player, the position coach, and then head coach, GM, you know, scouts, whatever. They are all in there, you know, they're all together. Yeah. They're one. They're a package. So I'm not going to separate those three, the scouts, GM, head coach. I'm not separating those three.
No one is absolved of blame.
Exactly. So here again, when you say, when you present, you know, what Paul presented, which is right. He's right that players, he's 100% right about that.
And there's only so much that a coach can do.
But then you absolve everybody else. Mm-hmm. When you just say, it's the player, it's the player, it's the player. I've said this before, and I will say it a million times. Coaches are there to put you in a position to succeed. They evaluate you. They know what you can and what you can't do. And they're going to put you in a position to succeed. Bill Belichick would say, I don't care what he can't do. Show me what he can do. Don't give me all these things. If he's on our team, don't give me all these things he can't do. What can he do? Show me what can he do and to put him in that position to do it. Don't put him in a position. If you say, well, he's not a good one-on-one blocker. Well, damn it, don't put him in a position where he's blocking one-on-one. Put him in a position where he's combination blocking all the time. That's what you do as a coach. So you can't, again, Paul's right when he's talking about the player. But you can't absolve the coach neither. Coaches in this league get hired and fired because the people that they are responsible for are not progressing the way they need to. They ain't just firing coaches willy-nilly just because.
Some people do.
Yeah, but then that's a bad organization. But you fire guys because you look at what has been done and what hasn't been done. You look at their position and say, is your position getting better or is it getting worse? I understand we can't go out and get, you know, all pros at every position. Like, we can't get four receivers and they all be all pros. That's why, if that's the case, we don't need coaches. If it's just all the players, we don't need coaches. This throw them, it's like basketball. Basketball really don't need no coaches. Just give me LeBron James, give me KD and Steph, and I'll win you some championships. I just got to keep all of them in line.
Like, you think Joe Burrow needs a coach?
I don't think Joe Burrow needs a coach. he needs a coach from the standpoint of putting together a game plan. But that kid has talent, mm-hmm. Like flat-out talent. He knows what to do. You put him in that situation enough, he gets it very quickly. So Paul's right with the player. But then you can't absolve the offensive line coach. You can't absolve the head coach, mm-hmm. Nor the GM.
They're all to blame.
They're all to blame in this situation. But what is it? You start from the head coach, before he gets fired, he's firing everybody else. Mm-hmm. That's why he changed his offensive line coach. That's why he changed his offensive coordinator last year. That's why he changed his special teams coach in the middle of the season, even though it's too late. But he's thinking about next year. He ain't thinking about this year. He's thinking about next year. That's why he fired his offensive line coach. If it was based upon the players, then the offensive line coach from last year would still be here, right?
In theory.
In theory, he still would be here. But because they are tasked to get the most out of your player, put him in a position to succeed, that's why he got fired. Because he didn't do enough when that offensive line got better. Hodelink, it's the same way. You maybe give him another year, but that's stretching it a little bit. But Vrabel is known for, okay, I'm going to give you a chance. This was like an audition. Mm-hmm. This year and next year will be an audition for him. That's what it will be. I don't think he's going to fire him in the offseason. I think he's going to give him another chance, because that's who Vrabel is. Look at all the people he's given chances to and then ultimately fired him. Offensive coordinator, mm-hmm. Offensive line coach,
special teams coach.
So he's going, even Shane Bowen. Even Shane Bowen now. He gave him a chance. That defense started getting better. He had to bring on some extra help with Schwartz, but it got better. So now he's off the hot seat. It moves on to somebody else. He's going to get his offensive line. He's going to get a Hoteling another chance next year. But if it ain't right by next year, he may be gone, but all of them may be gone as far as the coaching staff.
Right.
So, again, Paul's right when he's saying a player, but it's more than just that. It's not just one singular thing.
When something is that bad.
Exactly.
The finger has to be pointed at everyone.
Absolutely.
It's not just one person. It is Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel mm-hmm. for assembling that putrid offensive mm-hmm. line. It's on the offensive line coach for that offensive line not getting any better. And look, to Paul's point, it's a fair point to make, mm-hmm. that sometimes you just cannot make chicken salad
exactly.
out of chicken.
I get it.
I get it. Sometimes players just aren't good enough. Mm-hmm. That there's only as high of a ceiling as you can get. Peter Skoronski was a first-round pick. Mm-hmm. Peter Skoronski has regressed.
Yeah, he ain't.
That's on coaching.
Better. Yeah.
That's on coaching. Want to get into your thoughts on this. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Monty is on the line. What's up, Monty?
Hey, how's it going? I just wanted to say something about D-Mace. I've been listening to him for a while, and I just feel like he's has that great radio TV voice, and he's so knowledgeable. And I just kind of wondered why he never had a shot at NFL pregame show or something like on a national TV level. Not to take anything away from anything.
You're trying to take my co-host away.
He would be great on that. I really.
Thank you, Monty. I appreciate it.
Is that your agent?
I'll send Monty a check later on. No, but I thank you. My thing is, I try to look at a game from any game, whether it's NBA, NFL, NHL, no matter what. I try to look at it just from a sports perspective, like from just a pure sports perspective. What I experience, I can't tell you things from what they experience. I can only tell you from what I've experienced and what I've seen. And it may be right, it may be wrong, but I'm just telling you from my experience. And from my experience in this situation, Paul is right. He's not wrong, but it's not just the player. Again, coaches' jobs are to get the most out of a player and to help that player advance in whatever he's doing. Ultimately, you know who's not and who is. And sometimes players get coaches fired. We see it all the time. You haven't done enough that we believe that is sufficient enough for you to keep your job.
Yeah.
So we got to move on. We got to let somebody else try. You know, the only time I think the Titans fired a guy was Malarkey. I think they fired Malarkey and he was doing a good job. It's like everything's going pretty good. We're starting to trend in the right way, but you fired him. Typically, it's team's not doing well, players not doing well. Mm-hmm. They haven't been doing well for a while. So, coach, you got
to
go. Yeah, you got
to
go.
Yeah.
They understand they can, you know, players can come and go, but a lot of it is tied to their contract. So, after a while, instead of, you know, this revolving door with players, we're going to get rid of the coach. If it was all just the players, coaches will have jobs. There would never be any turnover in coaching. Mm-hmm. Never.
Yeah.
But there is. Why? Because you are tasked to do a job, and that job is, one, put that player in a position to succeed. Whatever it is, put him in a position to succeed and get the most that you possibly can get. That player, he shouldn't be the same player in game one that he is in game 15. He shouldn't be. If he's regressed, that's on you too. Mm-hmm. If he's gotten better, it's on you. You can't give him all the praise when the guys get better, but then say, he's not at fault when the guy gets worse. Yeah, he is. Either you're coaching it, you're allowing it to happen, or you're coaching it. One of the two. And it's true.
Except when the national media narrative with Mike Vrabel is, when they win, Mike Vrabel is the smartest man in the world. When they lose, what do you expect him to do with this roster? All right, let's get right into your phones on this coming up next. Everything is on the table. The offensive line, Bill Barnwell's comment about the Titans potentially being in the market for, at least in his opinion, not a report, but in his opinion, that the Titans could be in the market for a 2024 starting quarterback for next season. We'll get into your phones on this. Caroline Willie D. Mace, make your silly underdog picks for your chance to win weekly prizes. You can play at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket.
Trevor, how much of the problems the Titans have about not being able to stop a stunt, not, you know, what sounds like basic stuff, correct me if I'm wrong, for NFL offensive linemen to be able to do, How much of that is a coaching issue, and how much of it is a lack of talent issue?
I think right now it's a lack of talent issue. You can see him trying to do it. For example, you can see Duncan at left tackle trying to stop a drive man. When the stunt where he's got the drive man and Skoronski's guy loops outside, you see him trying to do that. He just doesn't have the functional strength to do that. He needs a year or two in an NFL weight room in order to get enough functional strength to know if the guy can actually play. I kind of think he'll be a decent player in about 2 years. But right now, it's as if you or I went in there to play. We could be in the right spot, Jared, but we would get overwhelmed physically. And right now, Duncan at left tackle is getting overwhelmed physically. And so that's something that coaching is not going to help. And I think picking up these stunts, the way defenders and defensive coordinators have figured out the team is so weak at doing. And on the right side, they're not very good at it. On the left side, they are absolutely unable to pick up a stunt. I don't think there's much a coach can do at this point, because he's got guys in position to do it, but those guys that are in position to do it are just getting smashed.
All right, that was Trevor Maddich on Stillman & Company earlier this week. When it comes to quarterbacks, I defer to Tim Hasselbeck. When it comes to receivers, I defer to you, D-Maze. Mm-hmm. When it comes to offensive linemen, I defer to Trevor Maddich. He's an offensive lineman for a long time in the NFL. If there's anything offensive lineman to know, if I have a question, Trevor is the one that can answer it. Mm-hmm. He said, look, there's really not much that a coach can do, and I get that. You're not working with a whole lot. I think a big part of it, too, is I didn't believe in Jason Hotelling to begin with.
Yeah.
I didn't believe in promoting an assistant after you fired the head coach to begin with. And this offensive line is so bad. You start anew. Mm-hmm. Fresh slate. New coach, new pieces, new players.
Yeah, but Vrabel has shown that he gives coaches an opportunity, because I'm sure he looked at it as someone gave me an opportunity more than just a year to prove my worth in this league as a coach. So he takes that into, his philosophy as a head coach. You know, I'm going to give you an opportunity. You know, that first year, the honeymoon, and, you know, everything is – it may not – you know, everything – theoretically, everything's going well. But it's that second year that, you know, you either need to show true progress or we have to move on to someone else. Again, Paul isn't wrong in what he was saying.
No.
Just like, you know, Trevor. Trevor, you know, like you said, if I have an offensive line question and I need an answer quick, Trevor would be somebody that I reach out to. Like, okay, why are they doing this? Why aren't they doing this? Is he good enough to play? Isn't he good enough to play? Beyond what I'm seeing. Like, everybody can understand this guy, you know, when you're talking about the left tackle for the Tennessee Titans or the center. Everybody sees that they're just not the dudes right now. Mm-hmm. But I need to know beyond that, what else are you seeing, Trevor, that you know, makes you believe that it's going to take 2 years for this young man to at least get up to an NFL standard where, okay, you can be a true, really good swing tackle. Like, we have no problem. Somebody go down, we can throw you in there, and we operate our offense just like we would have if the starter was in there. So, you know, Paul's right. Trevor's right. Both of them are right. But in this league, we're just talking perception and reality. That's what the NFL is all about, perception and reality. That's what it is.
Yeah.
The perception of Mike Vrabel is he is a damn good coach. He's
smartest,
like,
man in America.
Like, top five coach in the NFL.
Can never do any wrong.
The reality is his team isn't good this year, and they were not good last year. And it seems like they're going further and further down this rabbit hole. That's the reality. But the perception is, because he won some games that he shouldn't have won, he took a team that was already put together in a sense. He took a team and led them to the AFC Championship. That's his perception is based on that. But the reality is, this team hasn't been good the last 2 years. That's the reality. The reality is, the perception is, Hodling is not all his fault, you know. The players need to be better. Yes, we understand that. But the reality is, what are we seeing? What are we seeing? A bad offensive line. And And the perception is, well, let's blame the players. But the reality is, no, not only do you blame the player, but you have to put some of the blame on the teacher.
Blame all of them.
Yes, everybody is at fault in this mm-hmm. situation, because if we are to believe the premise of there's no we and team, there's no me and team, then okay, if that is indeed truly the case, then everybody, no one's absolved mm-hmm. in this situation. The offensive line coach, the head coach, the GM, hell, the owner, all of them, they are culpable with this offensive line, the way it's playing. Now, you can change it, go out and get some new players. Okay, we go out and get two new players. That's all you need. Two new players, a center and a left tackle. That's all you need. I can work with the other guys as long as we communicate. If I don't see, or if Vrabel doesn't see the progress that he needs to see, then yes, now you're gone. So that's when it becomes his fault,
right?
You know, from a, I guess if you're looking at it from the lens of Paul, then that's when it becomes his fault, because mm-hmm. now we've changed guys. We've gotten better at the position, supposedly, but what you're teaching isn't resonating with these guys. So now you got
to
go.
Now you have to hold the accountability.
Exactly. So, but it's not going to be into next year. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be. If this offensive line still gives up over 50 sacks, then you will see a change next year. You ain't going to see a change. I doubt if there'll be a change this year. I wouldn't be surprised, but I think he's going to give him another opportunity to get this thing straight. But you got to run it by the woman upstairs. Mm-hmm. And she has to believe, which I think she does, she has to believe that what you're telling her in regards to this coach is true. Like, he can get these guys. I just got to upgrade the talent. He can get these guys straight. Well, didn't you upgrade the talent at guard?
In theory. Do you think he deserves another chance?
I think he does. As much as, you know, I wouldn't bat an eye if they changed. If they went another direction, I wouldn't. It's like, okay, I see why. I can't argue it.
Yeah.
I can argue if you keep him, but I can also say, well, he wants to give him an opportunity. He did. At least they did go out and get better players or new players. So we can give him that. Now, if we are to believe these guys are better, you go get your first round talent, a top 10 tackle, meaning top 10 as far as where you pick.
Right.
If you pick an eighth, you're getting the best, probably the best or the second best tackle in this year's draft. So you got that guy. Then you went out and you spent the money to get you a beefier center.
You need a beefier center up front.
Exactly. You need a beefier center. So if you do that, then okay. All right. We're good. But if they turn out not to be better, then what else do we have to do? We got to fire the coach now. We got to fire the offensive line coach. But if it gets to that point, it ain't just the offensive line coach. This whole coaching staff is getting fired.
It's the coach. Yeah. Which goes back to a point I made the other day of so many reactionary moves that are made just too late. Mm-hmm. That you hold on to the offensive line coach, you give him another opportunity. If the offensive line doesn't improve, then you fire him. Well, then you're just 1 year behind. Your offensive linemen are yet another year of developing behind, and your offensive line hasn't helped you at all. It's frustrating. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, coach is on the hot seat. As we've talked about, the national media is not putting Mike Vrabel on the hot seat. But there is another coach that is on the hot seat by the owner, by the national media. Could we see them potentially in Nashville next year? Should he be in Nashville next year? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.